All right, welcome back, everyone. We're diving deep into snus and nicotine pouches today.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, using this year-end blog post from Snusline, a website that's really on top of everything happening in this industry.
Cool.
And man, has it been a year, right? Huge surge in popularity, obviously, a lot of people looking for alternatives to smoking.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're seeing more and more regulations and concerns about, the health risks.
For sure.
So the big question is, where does all this go from here? What does the future hold for these products?
It really is fascinating to see this all play out.
Absolutely.
You've got this incredible demand,
Yeah.
but also pushback from, regulators and health organizations. It really reflects this, I think, bigger shift
Yeah.
in how people are using nicotine
For sure, for sure.
in general.
And the blog post really highlights how snus and pouches are like tapping into this desire for discreet, convenient nicotine. They're smoke-free. They don't mess with like your fitness routine or anything.
Right.
And, even athletes are starting to use them.
Oh, wow, really?
It's like they're checking all these boxes that cigarettes just, they can't compete.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really speaks to, I think,
Yeah.
this trend of people being more health conscious overall, but, not necessarily wanting to ditch nicotine completely.
Right.
So these products are like this sort of
Yeah.
middle ground.
Compromise, yeah.
Yeah, a compromise.
But of course, like we said,
Yeah.
there's also this growing concern about them.
For sure.
So let's talk about some of the specific challenges that the industry faced this past year.
Okay.
The blog post mentions a bunch of key events, like that fire at the Swedish Match factory.
Right.
What impact did that have on the market?
Oh, that was huge.
Yeah.
Swedish Match is like a giant in the snus world.
Yeah.
So any disruption to their production really creates these ripple effects throughout the entire industry.
Makes sense.
We saw shortages, price increases, even impacts on the stock market.
Wow.
It really showed how
Yeah.
vulnerable the supply chain can be.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And then there's the Zyn flavor ban in the US.
Right.
That seems like a pretty big deal, especially given how popular Zyn is over there. What was the thinking behind that ban?
Well, it all comes down to, trying to make these products less appealing to young people.
Okay.
Regulators are worried about flavored nicotine products
Yeah.
attracting underage users.
Right.
So using flavor bans is kind of a way
Yeah.
to try to discourage that.
It's a tactic we've seen with vaping too,
Right,
right?
exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting. So it's not just about the nicotine itself, it's about how it's packaged and marketed. But then wouldn't this just push young people toward other products?
Yeah.
Maybe even more harmful ones?
That's a concern a lot of people have raised. It's a tough issue with no easy answers.
For sure.
You're trying to find this balance, right? Protecting public health, especially for young people,
Yeah.
but also respecting individual choice.
Right.
And it's not just the U.S. doing this either. The blog post mentioned how Europe is expanding its bans on flavors,
Oh, okay.
and Australia is making their import rules stricter.
So it seems like globally things are changing.
Yeah.
But in the middle of all this, the article points to Sweden. They've got this long history with snus
Right.
and remarkably low smoking rates and
Yeah.
low tobacco-related cancer rates.
It's interesting.
How do we square that with all these concerns about health risks?
Yeah, that's where it gets really
Yeah.
complicated.
Yeah.
The Swedish experience is often used as evidence that snus can be a less harmful alternative to cigarettes,
Okay.
but it's not that simple.
Right.
There's a lot of factors at play.
Yeah.
There are cultural norms,
Yeah.
access to health care, and even the specifics of Swedish snus, which is regulated very differently than other tobacco products.
Interesting.
And we can't forget about the potential health issues that the blog post mentions.
Yeah, like gum
Yeah,
irritation.
gum irritation, cardiovascular problem.
It's even with snus, which has been around for much longer, we're still figuring out these long-term effects.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got these regulatory challenges
Yeah.
and these lingering health concerns. But like you said earlier, the market for these products is still booming.
Right.
How do we make sense of that?
It's a bit of a paradox.
Yeah.
Despite all these headwinds, the demand is still incredibly strong.
Right.
I think it boils down to a few key things.
Okay.
First, there's this genuine desire for alternatives to cigarettes
Right.
that are smoke-free.
Yeah.
Second, these products are just more convenient and discreet
Hmm.
than traditional tobacco.
For sure.
And third, there's constant innovation happening in this space.
Mm.
New brands, flavors, formats popping up all the time.
Yeah, speaking of innovation, the article highlights sting-free nicotine.
Okay.
They recently raised 5 million SEK.
Wow.
By specifically addressing gum irritation, which is a common complaint.
That's smart.
What's interesting about that?
What I find fascinating is that they identified a real pain point for users.
Yeah.
And created a product that directly addresses it.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize that for a lot of people, gum irritation was preventing them from using snus or pouches regularly.
Right.
So by focusing on that specific need,
yeah,
they were able to stand out in a crowded market.
Yeah.
And build a loyal customer base.
So it's not just about being smoke-free. It's about understanding those nuances of the user experience.
Exactly.
And responding to them.
Yeah, it's about listening to what consumers actually want.
Right.
And finding innovative ways to give it to them.
And we're seeing that across the industry, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
New flavors, formats, nicotine strengths, even the packaging.
It's evolving so quickly.
To try to appeal to more and more people.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this interplay of consumer demand,
mm-hmm.
regulatory pressure,
right.
and all this product innovation. But
yeah.
what about the specifics of how people are using these products?
Sure.
What other trends did the blog post highlight?
Well, one thing that really jumped out at me was how SKNOS is being used by athletes.
Oh, yeah.
More and more, especially in football.
Interesting.
Which, you know, brings up some questions
yeah.
about its place in professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
Should leagues regulate it?
Right.
Even ban it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
yeah.
if it's seen as like a performance enhancer.
Right.
Or if it becomes really widespread.
Yeah.
It could definitely cause some controversy.
For sure.
And it seems like the opposite end of the spectrum is also causing concern.
Oh, worrying.
The blog post mentioned worries about teenagers using it.
Yeah.
Especially in places like Spain and Norway.
Yeah, teenagers using nicotine, it's...
It's a constant battle.
It really is.
Yeah.
Regulators all over the world are trying to figure it out.
Right. It's that balance again yes. between letting adults make their own choices
yeah.
and protecting young people.
It's tough.
From addiction.
For sure.
It feels like this happens with every new nicotine product that comes along.
It's true.
Speaking of new products, the article talked about the rise of caffeine pouches.
Oh, yeah.
Is this just like piggybacking on the popularity of snus and nicotine pouches?
I think it's definitely connected.
Uh-huh.
You know, they use that same discrete format
yeah.
that's been so successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it taps into this bigger trend of functional products,
okay.
things that provide a specific benefit.
Right, not just taste or enjoyment.
Exactly.
So it's like they're saying, hey, we can deliver more than just nicotine in this way.
Right.
Where could this lead?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
It could really open up a whole new world of possibilities.
Like what?
Imagine pouches that deliver vitamins.
Gotrobes.
Even medications.
Wow. Yeah, that would be a...
It could be a game changer.
Yeah, a whole new way to consume those things.
Exactly.
And since caffeine pouches don't have nicotine,
yeah,
they can avoid a lot of those regulations.
Exactly. That's a big advantage.
That's snus and nicotine pouches face.
Yeah, the regulatory landscape is much less restrictive.
Right. Makes them easier to sell and market.
For sure.
And they appeal to a much wider audience.
Oh, yeah.
Not just, you know, smokers or nicotine users.
Anyone who wants an energy boost.
Exactly.
For benefits.
So we could be looking at a much bigger market for this kind of product.
Potentially, yeah.
But going back to snus and nicotine pouches,
mm-hmm.
what does the future hold for them?
Well, the article seemed to suggest that nicotine pouches will keep growing rapidly.
Okay.
While snus might stay more of a niche product.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Snus has that very specific taste and texture.
Right. Not for everyone.
Especially if you're new to smokeless tobacco.
Exactly.
Nicotine pouches are more, I don't know,
yeah.
approachable?
More flavors, mm-hmm. formats,
yeah.
appeals to a wider range of people.
And then there's the whole question of regulation.
Oh, right.
It'll be interesting to see how governments react to this evolving market.
Yeah.
Will they crack down?
Right.
Or adapt?
It's hard to say.
Speaking of adapting, the blog post said that Snusline, the company behind the website,
okay.
is branching out.
Oh, really?
They're getting into e-cigarettes, disposable vapes, even CBD products.
Wow.
What's their strategy there?
I mean, from a business perspective,
yeah.
it's a smart move.
Okay.
Diversifying their offerings.
Wait.
Less reliance on any one product.
Mm-hmm.
And they can tap into new markets.
Yeah. It reflects a trend we're seeing across the industry, right?
Exactly.
Offering smokers more alternatives. It's almost like a one-stop shop for harm reduction.
Yeah.
Different options for different preferences.
Right. Different stages of transitioning away from
It could
smoking.
give them a competitive
It
advantage.
could, especially as the market gets more crowded.
But it also raises questions about their motivations.
Yeah, are they really committed to harm reduction
Right.
or just trying to make more money?
It's a complex issue.
It is.
I mean, on one hand, giving people more alternatives
Yeah.
could help them reduce or even quit smoking.
Right.
But on the other hand, are they just creating new markets,
Yeah.
new dependencies?
That's the worry.
It's something to think about.
Absolutely. We need to be mindful as
For
consumers.
sure.
Be critical, be informed,
Yeah.
understand the risks and
Of
benefits.
anything before we use it.
Exactly.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
Okay.
The rise of smoke-free nicotine, regulation, market dynamics, new products, even ethical
A
considerations.
lot to unpack.
What's the takeaway?
What should our listener be thinking about after all this? It really is a fascinating case study
It is.
of how, innovation and regulation and
Yeah.
consumer demand all kind of come together
Y'all mixed together, yeah.
to shape an industry.
Yeah, and that's something I want to put to you, the listener.
Yeah.
What stands out to you in all this? Where do you think this is all heading?
Those are great questions.
Yeah.
And they highlight something, I think, that
But,
goes
though.
beyond just snus and pouches.
Okay.
What we're seeing is part of this much larger conversation
Yeah.
about nicotine, harm reduction, and how the government should regulate these things.
It's not just about these specific products.
No.
It's about how we as a society
Yeah.
approach nicotine and
Exactly.
quantity.
And that raises some really interesting questions.
Like what?
Well, will these new products actually lead to people using less tobacco overall?
Okay.
Or will they just create new markets,
Yeah.
new dependencies?
Right. Maybe even among people who wouldn't have used nicotine otherwise. It's
Exactly.
like we're at this crossroads,
Yeah.
and the path we choose could really have a big impact on public health
For
for
sure.
years to come.
It's a complicated issue.
It really is.
A lot of nuances.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think there are any easy answers.
Right.
But that's why it's so important to
Oh,
have
God.
these conversations,
Yeah.
explore the different perspectives,
Right.
think about the long-term consequences.
And that's what we've tried to do in this deep dive,
Yeah.
to really dig into this complex and rapidly evolving market.
And I think, as with any complex issue, the more we learn, the more questions we have.
Yeah, it's true, but that's kind of the beauty of exploration, isn't it?
It is. It's about embracing the unknown,
Yeah.
challenging our assumptions.
I love that. That constant curiosity,
Yeah.
the desire to understand the world a little bit better.
Exactly.
And to our listener out there, we encourage you to keep exploring this topic,
Yeah.
keep asking
Keep
questions,
learning.
keep engaging in these conversations.
Aye.
Maybe snus and nicotine pouches aren't on your radar,
Right.
but the themes we talked about, consumer trends, harm reduction, regulation, yeah,
These are everywhere,
they are.
shaping the products we use, the
Yeah.
choices we make.
Every day.
It's about connecting the dots, seeing the bigger picture.
Becoming more conscious consumers.
Exactly. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We hope it sparked some new thoughts
Some new ideas.
and inspired you to keep learning.
Until next time.
Until next time.